All right, so Matt, you know we went to Colorado not too long ago and it snowed. I realized that we got visited by Will Smith, even though I didn't see him when I went outside one morning. I saw fresh prints in the snow.
Man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
I was doing a lot better before that joke.
Well, I'm glad I could bring you down. Before we get into it, we'll say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. We're happy to be associated with the shows there and with the network. Promise, if you search on podbelly.com, you're going to find a show that you will enjoy. Also, share Graveyard Tales with people. You know, get out there and tell people. I don't care if you know them or not. If you see somebody walking down the street, just go, hey, check out Graveyard Tales podcast. You know, it's something. Yeah. I mean, remember, sharing is caring, and we want to care about people. So go share Graveyard Tales to everybody you know. And if you will share Graveyard Tales, if everybody shares Graveyard Tales with a couple people, we can become one of the biggest shows in the world.
That's right.
So let's get Graveyard Tales as one of the biggest shows in the world. That would be fantastic. Also, go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales, sign up to become a patron. We've got multiple different levels. We have bonus episodes on there that everybody gets. Our $5 and $10 get ad-free audio and video versions, and our $10, they get all that. Plus, they get our second show, Side Quest, which Matt and I are really enjoying doing now. We've been doing it for over a year, which is crazy to say. But we're enjoying it. You get peeks, you know, behind the curtain. So you get stories about our lives. You get weird games that we play with each other. You get just me trying to make Matt laugh or gross him out or something.
Yeah.
So if you want to see Matt and I doing something that's not Graveyard Tales, go over there, check it out, $10 a month, and you can get that second show. Also, go check out our sponsors. We, you know, if you want to help Graveyard Tales and you say, look, I can't be a patron just yet, but I want to help you guys out. One of the best ways to do that is to use our codes on one of our sponsors, because then they will come back and sponsor another episode of Graveyard Tales. And having the sponsors is what keeps Graveyard Tales going and free. So go check them out. Use one of our promo codes with them and get you something neat.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. So that's all I've got. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
All right. So the place that we're going to talk about tonight was voted the most haunted place in New Jersey in 2023. Hmm. Okay. But it's not some old mansion. It's not an abandoned insane asylum, and it's not a decommissioned prison. The most haunted place in New Jersey is actually huge. In fact, this haunted place extends 10 miles from Newfoundland to Upper Greenwood Lake. Tonight, Adam and I are going to discuss the paranormal activity along New Jersey's Clinton Road.
We hadn't talked about many roads.
That's right. We haven't. And I was amazed how much activity is there. And a lot of it is legend. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's one of those where there's smoke, there's fire. There may be a little bit of truth in the origin of the legend. But some of these stories, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're really, really good. So
I was amazed at the history that I found. Some of the stuff that has happened on this road. Just like to end my notes today, I'll end it with something that I didn't realize. Like I knew about it, but I didn't know what happened here. I didn't know what happened on Clinton Road. And we'll get into that too. But as we always say, go check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. We source everything. If we've got it in the show, we pulled it from one of these sources, and you can go follow along, you know, continue the research. If you're like, hey, that part was interesting, I bet there's more to it. There probably is. And we probably just, you know, shaved it down a little bit for time's sake. But you can go down to the bottom of our show notes to our sources and keep going and keep doing more research. Now, Clinton Road is in West Milford, Passaic County in New Jersey. And I probably said the county wrong, but that's what you get from a Texas boy. Sorry about that. Now, like Matt said, it's a 10-mile stretch of road. And it's known best for its legends and paranormal eerie activity. The road, it's surrounded by dense forest, and for most of its history, a lot of it has been unpaved. So it's one of those roads that I like driving. Mm-hmm. I love driving unpaved backcountry roads. Just love it. Now, the road is named after the original settlement of Clinton, which existed near the brook that the road crosses. So West Milford itself was settled by Dutch colonists in the 1700s. Now, in the early 19th century, Clinton Road was part of an iron-making community. William Jackson established a furnace here in 1826, which we'll talk about coming up here in just a minute. But let's look at West Milford, New Jersey, real quick. Now, West Milford, like I said, it's located in Passaic County in New Jersey, and it was shaped by early settlements and industrial development and tourism. But before European settlement, the Lenape Native Americans lived in the area. And they were drawn to this area because of all the natural resources that were there. You know, the mountains, the lakes, the streams, and everything that they needed to survive was there. Now, the Lenape coexisted with settlers until they were eventually displaced to Western territories. Now, Dutch, English, and French settlers came to this area about the mid-1700s. And the area that West Milford is in was initially part of Bergen County when it was established in 1709. And it was originally known as New Milford. But in 1834, it became a municipality through an act of the New Jersey legislature that was formed by, that formed from Pompton Township. And the name West Milford was assigned because they wanted to distinguish it from another New Milford in eastern Bergen County.
Oh, so it's one of these. Oh, we got. You meant West Milford. We thought you were going to New Milford.
Right.
But if you go too far, you're going to end up in Old Milford.
Right.
And then you can turn and go through South Milford and get back to West Milford.
Right. Exactly.
God. And those. I really used to go see patients way out in the sticks, you know, where the map calls a road one thing and everybody else calls it something else, you know, and the street sign may even be something different. And that is the stuff that I would deal with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I always thought it was funny that back in, you know, the late 1700s, early 1800s, when they were setting up towns, how did you get two towns within the same county named the same thing?
I know.
You know, you didn't talk to anybody from New Milford before you set up this town. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to name this New Milford. Where did you come up with the dang name New Milford? That's not just a, I wouldn't think that would be a common thing you would call something. Well, that I don't walk around and go, hey, look, New Milford. Oh, New Milford. New Milford.
I would think there's got to be a regular Milford somewhere.
Right. Old Milford somewhere.
Yeah, it used to be just Milford. Then once there's a new Milford, then it becomes Old Milford. And they didn't choose that.
Right.
You know, right. Now I'm, you know, now I live in Old Milford just because you decided to call your place New Milford.
Exactly. Exactly. And all within the same county, which is crazy to me.
Milford it's all County. In, oh,
all
shoot
in Bergen
me.
County. Yeah. Well, in 1837, Passaic County was formed from parts of Bergen and Essex counties, and West Milford became its westernmost township. So West Milford was home to ironworks, so different factories that produced iron. One of them was Clinton Furnace, and this was established in 1826, and it contributed to the region's industrial growth during the 19th century. So the area's natural resources attracted settlers to the area who developed mining industries alongside farming. So they were able to mine this iron, and then they built the ironworks in the area.
Yeah.
And just created a whole economy there. So let's look at Clinton Furnace.
You know, and that's another thing that's weird, is the ironworks would set up, and a lot of times the towns would take those names. There's one here, Cumberland Furnace. That's just the name of the town.
Right.
Because Ironworks, Cumberland Furnace was there. So it's just the name, you know, when you hear it on the, you know, we've been having some crazy weather up here. So I've been seeing, you know, you learn all those little towns that you've never heard of when you're watching the weather.
That's
you
know, for sure. Like,
if you're down around Cumberland Furnace, where?
Yeah, right.
What? Who? Yeah, I never knew.
Yep. We've gotten that here before. We're like, oh, we're watching this storm. And they're like, well, it's coming through Mahia, Texas at the moment. Where?
Yeah.
Mahia.
Yeah.
Where is, and then you're pulling up your Google Maps and trying to find where Mahia is and how far it is, because you don't know where that crap is, so.
Or they're using, like, the name of the neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, that's not the town's name, but this is Berry Hill. That's what they call this neighborhood. You're like, what? It's not even on the map, you know?
It's blowing through Jim Bob Junction at the moment.
Right.
Where in the heck is that?
You know, imagine what it was like in 1826. Like, where is that? Where?
Yeah. Where is Clinton Furnace? I don't.
It's next to New Milford.
Which is next to Old Milford. Okay, that helps zero. Thank you. Now, the Clinton Furnace, it was this conical stone structure, and it was also known as the Clinton Ironworks. And sometimes today, people call it the Druidic Temple. So it's got a lot of names. I don't put too much stock in the Druidic Temple thing, but, you know, I mean, it was an ironworks. It was established by William Jackson in 1826, and he put it right alongside Clinton Road in West Milford, New Jersey. Now, William Jackson purchased over 1,000 acres of land in 1826 just to build this furnace. Now, the location was an ideal spot because of the nearby ponds and waterfalls that he was able to use for water power, and the dense forest he was able to use for charcoal production. So it was a perfect spot for this furnace. Now, the furnace was completed in 1833 under new owners John Winslow and Freeman Wood after Jackson sold the property. Now, it operated as Clinton Ironworks for 3 years before it was sold again. Now, the furnace processed iron ore that was sourced from local mines in the area. They say including Ringwood, Hibernia, Mount Pleasant, Ogdensburg, and Hamburg. So if you're from there, you know where that is. If you're me and Matt, you're going, no idea, but good for them.
Yeah.
They produced ingots, there, and those were used in a bunch of different cast iron products.
Yeah. Or so, or if you like RPGs like I do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, you gotta have so many silver ingots if you if you want
before you can buy a sword.
If you want the Witcher to make a new sword.
Yeah, right. Man, we're nerds. Okay. Now, the furnace, they said, faced a lot of difficulties because the area started to be depleted of a wood supply that they needed for the charcoal production, because all of this was occurring before coal became a viable fuel option. So this plant was running on charcoal from the forest before people started using coal to run the machinery. Now, operations there ceased around 1837, and the forge continued kind of sporadically on and off until it was abandoned entirely by 1852. Now, the Clinton Furnace is one of the best preserved ironworks of its kind in northern New Jersey. It was actually added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1976 for its industrial significance, this says. So the site is part of the Pequannock watershed that is owned by the city of Newark since 1900. That serves as a water supply area, and it's patrolled to prevent vandalism, because you can imagine, you got an old ironworks, you got teenagers with spray paint, they're going to go spray paint stuff. But the Clinton Furnace stands, this says, as a testament to the region's industrial heritage, and it remains an intriguing landmark along the infamous Clinton Road. Mm-hmm. Something else that stands, it stands there in infamy, as little as it stands, which that will make sense here in a minute. But that's the Cross Castle. Mm-hmm. Now, the Cross Castle, and Matt's got some good stuff on the Cross Castle, but it was built in 1905 by Richard J. Cross. He was an English-born railroad official and banker. The castle he built because he wanted it to be a summer home for his family, and he originally named it Barefoot after the nearby mountain range. Now, this structure was a huge three-story building that was built in the Tudor Revival style. It's made of stone and wood. It's got walls that stood high above the surrounding forest, and it was one of the most impressive estates in West Milford at the time. So if you can imagine this big castle sitting up, whose walls are taller than the trees around it, that's pretty impressive. Now, the property that Cross Castle sits on spanned 365 acres, and it included a 77-acre water body known as Hank's Pond. And I don't know why that tickles me to have something called Hank's Pond. But it sounds like some crap that I would make up on this show.
Right, yeah.
You know, just give it that's Hank's Pond. That's Jim Bob Junction. You know, it just sounds like something I would say, and I think that's why it tickles me.
You know what's funny? It just because you said Hank, it made me think of it. Back, you know, and you lived on the other side, but in Hendersonville, back when I used to live in Hendersonville, and not too far from where you lived, right along the lake, there was a road that just ran right by the lake. And there was a little market that was there. You know, they sold bait and stuff. It was across the street from the marina. So it was a hot spot for, you know, beer, cigarettes, soft drinks, sandwiches, that kind of stuff for people going out on their boat. I mean, it was directly across the street. The old guy that worked in there was named Hank, and everybody knew him. And he was, hey, how you doing? Way up to today. That's how he talked. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that store to everybody around Hendersonville was known as Hank's.
All right, so I don't know about y'all, but Matt and I, we've talked about this before. Our underwear drawers used to be like the Wild West. You know, there's no rhyme or reason for what you've got. You've got pairs that are that you still had from college for some reason, and the waistband has fallen off of them, and you got five different brands in there, and they all five of them fit differently.
Yeah, you had Buffalo in there, and a saloon, and all kinds of stuff.
I know, and I mean the drinks were nice, but other than that, it was the Wild West. It was crazy, but that was until Matt and I found MeUndies, and from that point, all of our other underwear had to go, and we have done nothing but MeUndies. And I know for me, it was like almost instantaneous. The first time I put them on, I was like, holy crap, rest of this stuff's got to go. So I instantly went and ordered more and started chucking my old worn out, you know, weird, like I had some from one company, one from, they all got put in the trash. And
sure,
now
hey.
The only thing in my underwear drawer is MeUndies. And I'm telling you, they are so comfortable. And they get more comfortable the more you wash them.
Oh,
you know, sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes you get these that they're comfortable and then you wash them and they like the fit is off or something. No, these stay fitting the proper way. And that micromodal fabric just gets more soft and more comfortable every time you wash it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, whether it's underwear or loungewear or, you know, a pair of shorts, whatever you need, they've got a style for everyone. Case in point, Brooks informed me the other night that he borrowed my underwear.
You're like, look, dude, those are yours now. I'll just buy some new ones.
No, because they're my MeUndies. I just had to wash them in extra hot water.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, a teenager borrows your underwear.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to sanitize those
that's
things.
That's right. And Adam's right. I mean, unmatched comfort. I mean, that's why he took them. It's because they're cool and they're amazingly comfortable. And MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug. It's breathable, it's stretchy, and oh so comfy, and it makes it ideal for all-day wear. And
it really does.
And look, I wear khakis most days, and they're great under khakis, but on Fridays, I wear jeans. They are fantastic in jeans. I mean, in shorts, it's getting warmer. They're great, and they're responsibly sourced. They use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies. Where are you going to find that?
Right. You try that at a big box store, take it back. They're going to go, no, that's your underwear now, sir.
Yeah. You know,
we don't want it.
Bring them back with some skid marks. I didn't care for these. I'd like a refund.
Yeah.
Wrong answer. But with MeUndies, if you don't love them, they'll pay for them. So, look, you got to try it. I mean, you've got to try it. So, get 20% off of your first order, plus free shipping on orders of $75 or more at MeUndies.com/graveyard. And there you can enter our promo code GRAVEYARD, GRAVEYARD.
That's right. That's MeUndies.com/graveyard and use our code graveyard, GRAVEYARD, for 20% off. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
I stop up here at Hank's and, you know, let's get a six pack. Okay.
Yeah.
That was not the name of the store and nor did he own it. He was just an employee, but it didn't matter what time of day you went in there. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing today? And he, you know, he would know your name and everything. So when you said Hank's Pond, that's probably not the name of it. Yeah. Hank's Store. It was not the name of the store.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how local things get a local name.
Yeah.
And
but that's another thing. You tell somebody, giving them directions, now turn left at Hank's.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be hunting around forever.
Yeah, like, they'd be doing circles looking
store
for a sign.
Named Hank's, you know?
Yeah, can't find the sign that says Hank's. Now, after Richard Cross died in 1917, his family sold the property to the city of Newark in 1919. Now, a fire a little bit later destroyed a lot of the wooden interior, so it left only the stone walls intact. Now, these ruins became a popular spot for hikers, teenagers, and thrill seekers, this says.
Yeah. And it was right there on the water, too. It was right there on the reservoir. So
right there on Hank's Pond.
Hank's Pond.
in 1988, the Newark Watershed Commission demolished what was left of the castle.
Yeah.
They claimed due to safety concerns. So only fragments of the foundation remain today.
Yeah.
But
it's still marked on Google Maps. You can still find it.
Yeah. Yep. It's true.
It just says former site of Cross Castle, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that.
Still there as a landmark.
Yeah. Now the walls, when they were up before they were torn down, were reportedly covered in graffiti. And this graffiti included satanic symbols and cryptic messages. And that kind of added to the dark reputation of this place. The ruins were also a popular spot for teenagers to party and camp out. You can imagine if you had a old castle that you could go drink at as a teenager, you probably would have. One account actually talks about a visitor falling badly enough to require hospitalization after exploring the area. But nowadays, people have reported seeing satanic rituals there, bonfires, chanting, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I'm going to end my notes with that I told you I knew happened, I knew about it, but I had no idea that it happened on this road. And believe it or not, Matt and I have mentioned this murderer before, but very briefly.
Yeah.
And I've read a couple books on him. I've watched a documentary. And you're saying, well, who is it? Well, hang on a minute. Hold your britches. On May 14th, 1983, there was this cyclist, and he was riding along Clinton Road, and he discovered a body that was decomposing in a wooded area. This body belonged to Daniel Deppner. Now, the corpse was surrounded by vultures when they found it. Medical examiner said that advanced decomposition on the outside of the body, but they found ice crystals in some of the internal organs. So this suggested that the body had been frozen before it was dumped on Clinton Road. Now, this is a signature of the mob enforcer and hitman, Richard Kuklinski.
Yeah. Is that not crazy?
It's nuts. Now, Daniel Deppner was apparently an associate of Kuklinski. He, who was, a contract killer and a mob enforcer. And Kuklinski claimed to have murdered over 100 people. By early 1983, Kuklinski, he was under investigation, and several of the members of his burglary gang had been arrested or killed. And a lot of people don't know that. Kuklinski worked for the mob, but he also had his own little gang that did burglary and stuff like that. Well, Kuklinski was afraid that Deppner might turn informant on him, because that had happened with another associate of his, Gary Smith. So between February and May in 1983, Kuklinski, sometime in there, killed Deppner in an apartment in Bergenfield, New Jersey. And that was actually owned by Richard Patterson, which was Kuklinski's daughter's fiance. So there's evidence that suggests that Deppner was poisoned with cyanide and then strangled. And if you know anything about Kuklinski like I do, he enjoyed doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, hey, would you like a burger? And he would have cyanide on this burger. And you'd eat the burger. He'd eat right along with you so you wouldn't think anything about it. And then you'd keel over. Now, investigators, they found signs of a struggle in the apartment, which included blood stains on the carpet. So after the murder, Kuklinski wrapped Deppner's body in a green garbage bag. Now, the discovery of Deppner's body was critical in linking Kuklinski to multiple different murders. So the investigators determined that Deppner had been incapacitated before being strangled because there were no defensive wounds. Cyanide will do that to you. And then there were burned beans actually found in Deppner's stomach. So it showed that he died shortly after eating a home-cooked meal. Well, Kuklinski was eventually charged and convicted for Deppner's murder and several others. And, you know, it says his chilling methods and lack of remorse made him one of America's most infamous killers. I would say that along with all the other crap he did and all the other people he killed.
Yep.
Well, Clinton Road, because it was the dumping site for Deppner's body, that just added more to the lore of Clinton Road. Now, to lighten it up before I give it to Matt to bring us back down, Clinton Road has what people call the longest traffic light in the United States. Apparently, at the intersection at Route 23, people say you can sit for up to 5 minutes waiting.
Oh, my God.
Because apparently the traffic planners planned, to prioritize the bigger road, Route 23.
Uh-huh.
But do you know how insane I would go waiting for 5 minutes? Especially if there's no other traffic coming the other way and you're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, I have felt like that I've been waiting that long. And now, and I'll tell you this, I have been waiting at lights at, like at night.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, there's nobody coming. Why isn't this light blinking?
Ah! Right.
You know,
right.
It drives you
Can't
nuts.
I just go?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it's a lot of history for, you know, a single stretch of road.
Right. It's just a road. You wouldn't think there'd be all that going on.
It's not magic. You know, there wasn't some, you know, huge event around its creation. You know, it wasn't like the Oregon Trail or something. It wasn't Route 66. It was none of that. It was just a road, and there was a bunch of stuff that happened. It's kind of like that place in Texas. You know, it's a long stretch of rural highway, and they find all these daggum bodies over there because, you know,
Killing field.
It's like a buddy of mine, my buddy Monty, and I used this little joke, and he's like, that looks like a good place to put a dead body.
You know? Yeah, right.
That's
right.
What everybody thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because it was, there were places of interest along the road. There were places for teenagers to go and hang out. And
sure.
You know, when you're talking about the time between like the 60s and the late 80s, that's what teenagers did. I don't think they do it as much anymore. There's not little spots.
No.
I mean, you know, but when I was a teenager, there were spots, you know.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, everybody's doing their own thing. But at some point on Friday night, Saturday night, everybody is going to congregate at one of these places, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you could wheel in there around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and there'd already be like a dozen cars there. Okay.
Right.
That was just the way it was. Well, Clinton Road was like that, and whenever you have a place like that, especially out in a rural area, you're going to get stories.
Sure.
And there's going to be stories that are based on, they may be based in truth, but they're going to be embellished over the years. And then eventually it's going to turn into maybe a ghost story or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard because you hear the story. You know, it maybe spooks you a little bit. It freaks you out. You get a little nervous when you drive down there alone at night or something like that. But you always wonder, what? Well, did somebody just make this up, or was there a story?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That there was something that happened, and the story is just kind of grown from there.
We had this road. Speaking of, you know, places you would go, there was a road in Plano.
Mm-hmm.
Now I grew up in Garland, and Plano was one of those towns right around Garland. And there was a road. It was a little dirt road that cut between two bigger roads. And there was a railroad track that went through that. There was this legend that this was a haunted railroad track. And if you went there, and it's that classic story of stop, put your car in neutral, and the ghost of the children that died on the school bus that was hit by a train will push you off the railroad tracks. And so we used to go and park out there, and there were, at, I think now it's built up, but at the time there was like a ranch over on one side with cows. So okay. We'd go run around with the cows, and there was nothing over on the other side. And then you could walk down the tracks, and there was this old abandoned house that had some legends of ghosts to it or whatever. But this is the road that, you remember the story I told you, my dad knew where we were going, and he came out there and moved my truck one night.
Right, yeah.
And freaked me the hell out. This is that road that happened on.
Okay.
And I swear to you, one night we left there and stopped at a gas station, and there were legitimately small handprints on the back tailgate of my truck. Don't know where they came from, because none of us had siblings that young at the time. So don't know where they came from, just weird, but I don't think anything really was up with that railroad track. It was just one of those that's the local legend,
right,
like you're talking about, and you go along with it as a teen.
Yeah. Well, probably the most famous one of these legends for Clinton Road, centers around a certain bridge. Depending on what source you look at, it could be this bridge, could be that bridge. But from what I found, the bridge in question is the one over Clinton Brook. Okay.
Okay.
Now, the story is that if you throw a coin in the water from the bridge, the ghost of a boy who drowned in that Clinton Brook will throw it back at you.
Mm.
Okay. Now, the legend says that there was a boy who was challenged by his friends to stand on the bridge as they drove to Route 23 and back. Okay? If you look at the map, that's a pretty long way.
Yeah.
Okay? But unfortunately, by the time the friends got back, they found this kid dead. Okay? Mm. The painting on the bridge is said to be a memorial to him. Okay. Hmm. Spooky story. Okay.
Yep.
Kid dies. Now he haunts the bridge, and he's throwing coins back at you. Okay.
Yep. Hitting you in the forehead with them.
Yeah. Now, one person posted his experience on the website Weird New Jersey. He says, yesterday at 8 p.m., me and my friend Mike were going to a movie at the drive-in. We took Clinton Road. We stopped on the bridge, and he told me all the stories about the boy being killed. So I threw a quarter off the edge, and we drove away. On the way home at 11:30, we passed over the bridge and stopped because Mike wanted to point out the kid's name on the side of the bridge. Just when he said the kid's name, a quarter or something metal was thrown hard against the window of the car.
Oh, geez.
Says we were shocked for a minute, but then we drove away.
Yeah.
I'm not going back on that road for a long time.
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it could have been anything, you know.
Sure.
But
the timing and.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you got to think it probably wasn't an acorn falling, you know, anything
right.
like that. So
it wouldn't have hit the window at that angle.
So what was it? You know,
unless it was like a rogue squirrel that was
it's just mad, just
yeah,
just humming, acorns off the side of this bridge.
Get off my bridge.
It's got a troll, you know, down there throwing acorns and stuff, throwing all the quarters.
You gotta pay, but gotta pay the toll troll.
You can, and there are photos online. You can actually look down from the bridge during the daylight, and you can see all the coins kind of glistening back at you.
Oh wow! Yeah,
I mean, so a lot of people have thrown coins over this bridge to test it out, and there are numerous stories of people coming back and finding coins like on the street. Adam, let's talk about Mint Mobile.
Okay.
Do you ever say your data plan, or do you say your data plan?
Hey, I say data.
Okay.
I
say data too. And if you're saying data, well, you're wrong. Anyway, Data was a character on Star Trek.
But exactly, see?
But everybody at my house says data. And for the longest time, I was paying a fortune for the monthly data plan. And that was just the way it was.
Right.
Until I found out about Mint Mobile and their premium wireless plans that start at just $15 a month. I mean, you're not going to find a better deal for quality wireless service.
Right.
I mean, my old phone, there were dead spots in the house.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was in the bathroom, my phone would not ring.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about that with Mint Mobile. Now my phone works all over my house, in my yard, down the street, and, you know, all the way up on the mountain. You know, I've got great service, and it's just costing me $15 a month, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy that they can do that and get the service that they're able to get. When, like you said, I've had cell phone providers in the past that walking through my house, I would drop a phone call. And you just don't know how that happens. But it doesn't happen with Mint Mobile. And you can say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you. All plans come with high-speed data, or data, if you like. They're high-speed data, I don't know. Whatever you Brits say. And unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. How crazy is that, man?
I know.
You just walk in with this and all they do is switch it over. I mean, that's it. That's amazing.
Yep.
And you can ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. Now, no matter how you say it, data, whatever, don't overpay for it. Shop data plans at mintmobile.com/grave, G-R-A-V-E.
Yeah, that's mintmobile.com/grave.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, 5 GB plan required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Which, you know.
Wouldn't you think, though?
If I drove down there, I would just routinely drop a quarter on that street.
Right,
just
right.
Just for somebody to find.
Yeah, place them in certain areas. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you think, and this is what would go through my head, and I'm sure it would go through your head too. If you look down and you see all the coins down there, and the legend is that they're thrown back at you when you throw them down there, you go, why the hell are they down there if they get thrown back at you from dropping them?
Right.
And so you would think, something's up.
Well.
But that's just me.
Maybe he just gets overwhelmed. You know, there's too many damn coins and he gets tired of throwing,
Only hum so he's many
got
a, back
he's got
at
to
you.
Ice his shoulder down, you know?
Yeah, getting a tennis elbow from lobbing the quarters back. Yeah.
Another famous story involves a phantom hitchhiker. Go figure. I mean, a haunted road. It's got to have a famous. If it doesn't have a phantom hitchhiker, then I don't. It's not a haunted road. It's got to have.
It's not legit at that point.
But this one is of a young girl who is said to appear on the side of the road, thumb extended, as if you ever see that. I have, in the last 6 months, I have seen it, but it's rare.
I've seen it.
But looking like she needs a ride. But many of the people who have encountered her claim that she vanishes as they approach. And they're kind of like, that's not normal. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad it stops there because, you know, everybody's heard the ones of they actually pick up the person.
Right.
And take them somewhere. And then they look back and they're not in the car anymore. You know, and they go to the house. You know, there's none of that. This is just they see her. They get close enough to where they think they're going to pull over and see if she needs help. And then she's gone.
You heard those where it starts out like that. Start to pull over. They vanish. Mm-hmm. So then you start to pull off, and a little bit later you look in your rearview mirror and she's sitting in your back seat.
Oh God, yeah, I've heard one like that too.
That's worse.
Oh but yeah.
How many people though, like once she vanished, how many people do you think went ahead and stopped and went, "Where'd she go?
Yeah,
I wonder where she is."
Go around traipsing through the woods trying to find her.
Hey, lady. Yeah. No, look, if somebody vanishes in front of you. Drive faster.
That's right.
Don't stop.
Don't turn around. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Just
kick up that gravel, son. Get the heck out of there.
Yeah. Now, there are other stories of ghostly headlights that appear out of nowhere and chase motorists down the road before they vanish without a trace. Now, I've heard stories like this too, but they're not as common.
Yeah.
So as this story goes, there is a phantom truck that roams the dark and winding Clinton Road, and it seemingly appears out of nowhere and then disappears just as strangely. Now, witnesses who claim to have experienced this say that it is a relentless chase. It's not you are being chased. It is not. Oh, there's a car behind me. It is coming fast and it is getting on your tail. And it's pretty terrifying. Even more terrifying if you thought this is a real person. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So you got all that going through your mind and plus you're driving down this dark road. But sometimes people that have witnessed this say there's no truck at all, just the headlights. And they're coming flying at you out of the darkness.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's a little bit, I mean, you know, that's weird. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
But of course there's a legend that goes along with this.
Okay? Of course.
And you know, it's a little bit different from the ghost truck. Okay. But the legend has it that in 1998, okay. 98.
That seems recent.
That is really recent. It's, you know, within the last 30 years, boy, you don't hear that very often.
No.
But there was a girl driving a Camaro on Clinton Road that got into a fatal accident. There have been reports of cars being chased by the very same Camaro when driving down Clinton Road. The car often appears and disappears without explanation, and according to local folklore, if you talk about the accident, it will trigger the car's appearance. So, remember our buddy Mike from the earlier story? Mike says, when my friend Vince told me this story, we saw headlights in the distance. And when the car passed, it was a Camaro.
This Mike feller doesn't learn his lesson.
Man, telling you. This could have been the same story, you know, you know, same night, you know, I'd be like, will you shut up?
let's stop.
I don't want to hear any more stories about haunted stuff on this road.
problem is it's not the same night, because wasn't the friend's name different in the first one?
Oh, the friend with the quarter. The friend's name was Mike. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Yesterday at 8 p.m., me and my friend Mike. Now, the author of the story doesn't give his name.
Oh, okay.
So it may not be. I'm messing around. But if the other guy's name was Vince, then, yeah, because Mike is the author of this one.
Okay.
Okay.
I was thinking Mike was the author of the first one.
No.
And that he had a different friend. Okay. All right.
Now, this is one that Adam messaged me the other day, and he goes, have you heard about this on the Clinton Road? Yeah, I have. Travelers have also reported strange animal sightings. Like, you know, unexplained apparitions, and they can even hear whispers, you know, out in the woods. Clinton Road is associated with a certain spot, which is known as Dead Man's Curve. I mean, you got all the stories wrapped into one, okay? One road, it's got everything. Dead Man's Curve, hell, there's even a song about it.
Yeah.
But at the Clinton Road Dead Man's Curve, there is said to be a group of witches or Satanists that gather at night and conduct rituals and ceremonies. The area around Dead Man's Curve is often cited as a hotspot for the paranormal activity, and visitors have reported bizarre noises, flickering lights, and the sensation of being watched.
Hmm.
So, you never come back from Dead Man's Curve. Was it Jane and Dean? Is that who did that?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Yeah, come on, man. Now, like, you know, Clinton Road, it is a pretty beautiful area. I mean, it's going through the forest, you know, there's a lot of scenery. But then you see some things that are like, what is that? And it's, you know, the old Clinton furnace, this cone-shaped structure. Yeah. That is said to be, as Adam alluded to earlier, the Druid Temple. Okay, it's supposedly a ritual. It's a cone shaped structure that is a ritual site of the Druids, a mystical and enigmatic religious group from ancient times. They say it was constructed with the reverence to their spiritual practices, and the temple echoes with their connection to nature and the cosmos. But the truth is,
it's a
19th century iron smelter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the other thing, you know, to bust the bubble.
Right.
There is no evidence of Druids in North America ever.
Right. Well, it's like that. I recently heard about it. There is a building in Boston, in Massachusetts, that they say was a Viking building.
Oh, okay.
And like the legends are, okay, the Vikings were here, and this is a stone structure that they built. It's a windmill from like 1910.
I was gonna say Boston's a little south for the Vikings, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
They were a lot further north when they came to North America.
Yeah. Yeah, they claim just Canada, but everybody tries to get them to have discovered America first before the Europeans. But even if they did, we have yet to find evidence. And it's not right. The windmill in Boston.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't. And yeah, they didn't have settlements here, which, you know, you would think. Because there's more evidence up towards, you know, the small islands off the coast of Canada that the Vikings were there, you know.
Yeah, if they found longhouses and stuff.
If they had gotten this far south, you think like up in Maine and Vermont and all that, you would have something. But there's really not.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, not that we found.
And there were no Druids here, so... the Clinton furnace is exactly that. It's not a, this is like a story. We found it. We made up a story about it, and the story lived on.
Yep.
Now, even though that the story about Clinton furnace isn't exactly true, Cross Castle, you know, really, really did exist. And a lot of people say it really was haunted.
And it really was a castle. Yeah. Maybe not a druidic castle, right. But it was a castle.
But the reputation for Cross Castle, or at least the ruins of the castle being haunted, comes from eerie echoes that people had reported through the halls right there. There were unexplained cold drafts that would blow through. There were sightings of translucent figures that said to drift through the rooms. I understand what these people were looking at was not like a house or a big castle. It was the ruins. So you could see right through it. You know, you could see that there were openings in the walls where you could tell there were multiple rooms and so forth. So people were actually looking into it, but there was enough of the structure there that people could actually go inside.
Okay. Right.
And that's where people say that they heard these disembodied voices once you actually got inside. And, you know, the castle was constructed in 1905. So, you know, it had been there for a while. Now, it's another place that's said to be the site of satanic rituals and evil spirits. And there was a group of friends that they once came up on Cross Castle while the castle itself was still standing. And they had a bonfire, and they were drinking. But their good times were interrupted because they started hearing mysterious chanting and rattling chains. Now,
why is it always chains?
Oh, man, chains. Well, I guess what else are you going to rattle around, you know?
That's
rope
a good
doesn't
point.
Make a lot of noise. So.
No.
But one member of the group began to have what appeared to be a seizure. So this panicked all of the other friends, and they were trying to help her. But they say that the seizure only stopped once the chanting had subsided. So, you know, the chanting, at least in this story, was blamed for causing this one individual's seizure. And once the chanting stopped, the seizure went away. You know, almost like they were
some powerful chanting.
They were casting a spell or something.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of stories from people that visited Cross Castle back when it was still standing. This one says, I had a friend who lived near Clinton Road. He used to take me on the May Day and Halloween's Eve. To spy on Wiccans practicing in the areas near his house. I love that. Wiccans. Like, you know, they're going to get out there in the woods and do stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
The proof I have is more than a kid's flashback of witches. It pertains to what was transcribed on the walls of Cross Castle and how a historical fact about the writing will reveal that a Satanist movement was using the area for their practices. It was a nice afternoon in 1977. We decided to get our packs, a tent, and a rifle to spend the night up in the woods. I took a journal along with me. When we came upon the castle, we were amazed. Man, you know how important it is to get a good night's sleep. And I tell you what, I have to make sure that I get a decent night's sleep, because I have to take advantage of the time that I'm not working, because I work all the time.
Yep.
And if I don't sleep well, it ruins my whole day. I get that weird tingly feeling like about midday. You ever had that?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like back 30 years ago when you could stay up all night, but you shouldn't, and you get tingly during the day.
Yep.
It happens to me, and it messes up everything. But I don't worry about that anymore, because I'm sleeping so much better. And that's why I am excited to share something that's really made a difference in my life, and that's Beam's Dream Power. Beam's healthy nighttime blend packed with science-backed ingredients shown to improve sleep, so you can wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day, whether that's going to work or hunting after ghosts.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. I mean, all it takes is missing a couple hours sleep because you were up and down or because you woke up early and couldn't get back to sleep to screw up your whole day. And I know for me, I do a lot of audio and video editing. And if I don't get enough sleep, then I'm sitting here dozing off listening to our voices. And I don't want to do that because I might mess up the show if I do that. So I have to get a good night's sleep so that I'm not falling asleep listening to Matt talk. And I mean, it happens to me too. If I hear myself talk too much, I'll go, oh, crud, and then I'm asleep. But Dream is made with a powerful blend of all natural ingredients: reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. And it's designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up feeling amazing. And that staying asleep part, that's the key for me, because I can fall asleep, but without my Beam's Dream Powder, I wake up like 72,000 times every night. With Beam, I sleep all the way through the night and wake up to my alarm and feel great. And unlike other sleep aids, I don't have next day grogginess. You just get the great restful sleep. Plus, Dream tastes incredible, and it's become part of my nightly routine because it's so simple and effective. It's like having a delectable hot cocoa before you lay down. And I'm not the only one, and neither is Matt. Beam has already improved 17.5 million nights of sleep, helping people across the country wake up and feel their best. Now here's the deal. Beam is giving our listeners the best offer yet, up to 40% off. Try their best-selling Dream Powder and get up to 40% off for a limited time. All you gotta do is go to shopbeam.com/grave and use our code GRAVE, G-R-A-V-E, at checkout.
Yeah, that's shopbeam, BEAM.com/grave. Use our code GRAVE, G-R-A-V-E, for up to 40% off. Hey, get out there and hunt those ghosts, because you had a great night's sleep. Try Beam today. You know, it says how it just stood out in the woods. You know, it's one of those weird things. You're just walking in the woods, and all of a sudden, bam, there's a castle.
Yeah. I can see that being weird.
It is. Like if you've ever gone hiking out in, you know, some old woods, you know, where you can really get away from the city noise and the road noise and so forth, uh-huh. and you come across like some old little you know, a little lean-to or, you know, a little shack of some type, it will creep you out. I'm telling you.
Oh, sure.
It probably had a really regular, normal, mundane purpose. But,
right,
you know, if it's been standing there for 50 years and it's been overgrown and you just come across it, yeah, it'll really send some chills up and down your spine.
Like that abandoned house on the haunted railroad tracks we had.
Exactly right.
It was probably just some dude's tool shed, but it looked scary. So
they do, man. They do. So the story goes on and he says, we entered it and were shocked to learn that someone had put up two huge boards with words spelled out in red paint. The nature of the writing intrigued me, so I copied down what the walls proclaimed, and my friend snapped a picture. The journal stayed in a box until 6 months ago, when after my wife's death, I was going through everything and read it. What was once scribbled down in my youth was now revealed as one of the writings of Anton LaVey from the Church of Satan.
That's weird.
Yeah, I went to a local bookstore to match my journal with the Lex Satanicus. I concluded that the tales about Clinton Road were seriously understated. The Satanists who practiced there were not a joke, but a local grotto of people using dark forces to bring forth their evil reign. That's a little dramatic. but now when I go to Clinton Road, I look at everything in a different light. This story was posted by Scott. He just gives his first name. Okay. Now, I would probably buy that they found some words there that matched up with some of the writings of Anton LaVey. Sure. I don't think he's indicating that Anton LaVey was there. But, you know, you're also talking about that coming up on that period of time that is known now as the Satanic Panic. So, you know, right. that late 70s, early 80s, where people believed that, you know, if you walked into a graveyard overnight, you were going to just walk up on a group of Satanists, you know, like mm-hmm. they were out everywhere, you know, just yeah. walking around, yeah. you know, hey, here's a graveyard. We're going to set a fire and have a human sacrifice. Now, listen, yeah. I'm not so naive that I don't believe that Satanists exist. I know they do. But, you know, are they? From what I have learned by researching it, they are not out sitting in graveyards or out in the woods doing rituals or anything. Some of them might, not, but not all.
Some of them, yeah.
You know,
and they're not behind every corner.
Right, right.
Like, you're not walking down the street and you go, ooh, Satanist. Yeah. Ooh, Satanist. Right. Ooh, Satanist.
Now, this one says, another time before the castle fell, some teens were exploring the inside. And suddenly, one of the girls started feeling sick and started screaming. She ran out with her friends quickly following. When she calmed down, she recounted seeing visions of a bloody, slaughtered boy. Now, this, to me, sounds like an urban legend. You know, it's something that teenagers tell each other to get the other one spooked on drive when you're driving home at night, you know, stuff like that. But it is common. I mean, when you look into the stories associated with Clinton Road, this one does come up. So it wasn't just a one shot. Well, you know, I found this several times. Now, a fellow named Brian R. remembers his experience at Cross Castle. Said, one time when a bunch of us climbed up the walls, we did see something. We were up there and saw two white figures. They were about 100 yards away from our friends on the ground. They couldn't see them from their vantage point. They came within 100 yards of the group and then disappeared into the woods. When we got back to the ground, we told them about it, and that's when the story started coming. There were instantly talk about an albino village in the woods.
What?
An albino village.
So is the village full of albino people, or is the village itself lacking pigmentation?
The legend says that they were cannibalistic albino people.
Oh, well, there we go.
That lurked in the woods behind the castle. But there are other stories that talk about different white figures out in the woods. Members of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we've come across stories about, you know, people in the woods that have some type of physical difference.
Yeah.
You know, the melon heads and all that. You know, we've heard stories about that before in other parts of the country. The likelihood that there was a group of albinos that lived out in the woods is probably small. The fact that they were cannibals is probably even smaller. But the chances that somebody might have come across, you know, some people that were part of the KKK out there doing some stuff, that's a little bit higher chance. Either way,
right.
It's pretty terrifying, you know.
Either way, if I run across people in all white in the woods, yeah, I'm out of there.
That's right. I'm not going to stick around.
I ain't hanging around.
I am not supposed to be here. I am leaving.
Right. Shouldn't have seen this. Sorry, didn't see this. I'm leaving now. Don't follow me.
Now, the stories along Clinton Road are not limited to spooky bridges and old structures. Apparently, there is a legend of a hellhound.
Mm.
Now, people swear they have seen a giant black dog with glowing red eyes roaming around the road. Now, it's said that this creature...
That's Carl from the farm up the road.
That's just Jethro. Throw him a milk bone. Mm-hmm. He'll lick you to death, but that'll be all.
He good, man. Yeah. He keeps our chickens in line.
But they say that this creature, it will, if you get too close, then it will try to attack you, and it will ram the side of your car.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then it disappears. And there's a bunch of people that say, if you see this hellhound and it attacks you, it's an omen. It means you're going to have an untimely death in the near future. Which, yep, that goes along
that
with
tracks
the hellhound legends.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's even believed that this road may be close to some entrance to hell because there are so many sightings of these hellhounds.
Hmm.
Or stray dogs.
Or yeah, I mean, it's...
I don't know. I mean, you know, we did an entire show on hellhounds, black dogs, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And there are tons of stories of these spectral canines out there.
Sure.
And who knows? Some of these could be true in the respect that these people did see something that was not an actual stray dog. But I'm betting a bunch of people have seen some stray dogs and go mm-hmm. home and say they saw a hellhound.
And what you're telling me is this hellhound does some property damage and then immediately disappears. Right. Rammed your car, and then I'm out. Yeah. Like, no, man, you got to stay here and wait for insurance. That's right. No,
That's right. That's right. Somebody knock on your door. Hey, did you hit my dog?
Yeah. Did your dog hit my car? That's the question.
But there is a possible explanation to this. In 1972, Warner Brothers opened a park called the Jungle Habitat in West Milford, New Jersey.
Huh.
Exotic animals like lions and tigers were shipped to the attraction.
And bears.
Yeah, oh, my. But things didn't go smoothly. Chaotic accidents kept happening, from a lion attacking a guest to monkeys trashing parked cars.
Oh, man.
So the park was forced to close by 1976.
Yeah.
So Adam messages me the other day, and he goes, yeah, man, there are stories of weird monkeys. And I was if I'm on a road in New Jersey and I see a regular monkey, that's weird enough.
That's
without
true.
It being a weird monkey.
A weird monkey, right. And you made a valid point. I mean, I couldn't argue that
exactly.
point, because it's true. I just had to say, yeah, you're right, man. That just a monkey would be weird.
You typically see monkeys in New Jersey, you know, not out in the wild.
Nope.
But, you know, who knows? Somebody may have.
You know,
if they're loose enough to mess up parked cars in 1976,
right.
I mean, come on.
Right. And there's always stories when you get into these places that they're like, oh, well, there's a, you know, a spectral dog, or we have a, like people have tried to say the Ozark Howler.
Oh, yeah.
Could be this too, where it's an escaped zoo animal that has lived in the forest. This actually has some backing to it, because in most places you're like, well, where did the animal escape from? There was not a train accident that the the thing could have gotten out of, you know. This West Milford actually had these animals there.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's more possible that these, quote, hellhounds could be something from this park that was made, that they went, you know what? I don't want to ship this thing back. Just let it go. Yeah. Just let it out in the woods. It'll be fine. Or, like you said, if monkeys can trash parked cars, they didn't keep a good eye on
right.
them.
Right. Exactly.
So, one of two, three of the large animals could have gotten out, and now you've got them wandering around Clinton Road, yeah. and people are saying, oh, it's a hellhound. And it's like, actually, it's Simba that was, you know, here from the park.
Yeah. More concerning if there was a lion roaming around. In the woods True. Off of Clinton Road.
True. More concerning than a monkey, that's for right. sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard, Matt, have you heard about the weird lion? Yeah. That's the
it's a weird lion.
It's a weird lion.
Oh, it's just a regular lion. So that's yeah. okay. Because, you know, we yeah. got...
Regular lion,
we got
fine,
lions but... all over New Jersey.
You've not heard of the Jersey lions?
No, I haven't.
Every spring they fight the Jersey Devils.
Yeah, and right.
It's a big battle.
Now it's interesting that now this, you know, I'm gonna touch on this. You brought it up. You teaser. Right. Okay. I know a lot of people are like, okay, we're talking about New Jersey and we're talking about weird spectral animals. When are you gonna get to this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's coming. Now, some people believe that the spirits of the animals that migrated to Clinton, some people believe that the spirits of the animals that were a part of the park have migrated to Clinton Road after their death. Okay. People have reported seeing strange animals lurking in the bushes all up and down the road. And these animals are believed to be bizarre hybrids of the jungle animals that were once housed by Warner Brothers. Now, that might could be a possibility. So something Maybe. Gets out and mates with a regular animal that's out in these woods. And you get, you know, maybe you get something like a liger, you know, because it's pretty much my favorite animal.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, it's a liger.
But, you know, you get some, but I mean, who knows? I mean, but there have been a lot of reports of weird animals up and down Clinton Road. Now, Amy from Pequannock, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right.
You're as close as we're going to get.
She says that she had a run-in with one of these strange creatures that prowl up and down the road. Amy says, I never thought my first trip to Clinton Road would be horrifying. As we were turning, in the bushes appeared to be a grayish, whitish wolf with red and yellow eyes. Later on, she says, no joke, my friend told me about his first trip where he also saw a grayish, white wolf with red and yellow eyes running around in the bushes.
Huh.
Now,
that's weird.
You know, an odd wolf being in there, one that maybe a little bit bigger than what you would expect, maybe one that's got a little bit of different coloring. I'd buy that, you know.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yep.
I mean, you could have that could be a hybrid because you could have, you know, wolves that naturally around that area or coyotes. Yeah. And they mate with a wolf that escaped or was released from this Warner Brothers park. And now you have a pack of coy wolves or something running around this area. And that's what people are seeing.
You know, dog wolf hybrids, you know, and then they mate with something else out there. And they, you know, you get this, you get what looks like a wolf, but is a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, not the right coloring or, you know, has some kind of defect that gives it colored eyes, you know, you never know. But Jessica says that she and her friends encountered something that they definitely cannot explain. She says after once through this 10-mile road and nothing happened, they went back and they checked out a dirt side road. Nothing around except for dense woods. She says it felt very eerie and that the trespassers will be shot on sight sign didn't ease her mind.
Yeah.
But she says, that's when I noticed something walking toward our car. All eight of us saw the same thing, an animal of some sort. We were going 60 miles an hour down this off-road when with this animal on our back. It's like, finally, we got back on Clinton Road and got pulled over by a cop and the animal disappeared. People say it's...
You imagine that stop.
Yeah, yeah. Keep telling the cop, why are you going so damn fast? We're being chased by an animal.
Well, there was this animal that was chasing me and step out of the car, please.
Yeah, where's the bottle? What have you been drinking?
Mm-hmm.
But she says people say it's a hellhound or the Jersey Devil. And she says, all I know is it was not a human.
Right.
So, you know, again, you can't talk about crazy animals in the woods in New Jersey without bringing up the Jersey Devil. So,
exactly.
Could be. Now, here is a regular traditional ghost story. Okay. While camping near Terrace Pond, I wanted to say Terrace. It's Terrace, like a balcony. Terrace Pond near Clinton Road. A camper or campers were allegedly approached by two park rangers. Now, the encounter did not seem very extraordinary at the time, but they learned something after the fact. So I found this, and then I poked around, and I found the actual story. So here is the story. Hanging out at the old castle was great. Much further up the road on the right, there are trails that go up the mountain to a lake called Terrace Pond. The pond was crystal clear and great for swimming. We used to camp up there, and we had a really weird occurrence that happened to us. We were camping one night around 1 a.m., and two park rangers noticed our fire and walked over to us. They were concerned about the fire, if we were drinking, etc. We asked if our vehicles would be okay where they were and asked if they would be ticketed. They said they were fine and no ticketing would be carried out. So in the morning, we ventured down the mountainside and approached our cars, and there were two summons per car. So they got tickets. After the rangers told them, you weren't going to get a ticket.
What a bunch of liars.
So West Milford Police and Newark Watershed authorities approached us, and we asked them about the park rangers, and they looked at us funny. We told them that we were speaking with two younger men and that they said we were okay to stay in camp and our vehicles were okay and we wouldn't be fined. One of the Newark Watershed authorities replied, what did these park rangers look like and what were they wearing? We described their appearance, and the authority told us that there were no park rangers patrolling the property anymore, and the two men we saw that night were killed on patrol in 1939.
Oh, wow.
We did not know what to say. Yeah, what do you say? He says, did we imagine this? Why was the authority questioning the description? How did he know these men when they were alive? Said, are we the only people that have encountered these rangers? You know. Now, I thought, that's a pretty good story. I like it.
That's good.
The idea that there were two park rangers from back in, you know, the late 30s. When rangers would have patrolled that area and they show up, you're out camping in the woods at night, they're checking on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a good story. Okay. And I love the fact that I was able to find it mentioned on a website and then poke around enough to find the actual written out story. So that gives it a little bit more validity in my mind. Okay. So really cool. So this one gets a gold star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that story.
Now, we've had weird animals. We've had ghosts now. We've got cannibal albinos. We've got weird haunted castles. Okay. We've got
druidic temples.
We've got a haunted bridge. We've got ghost cars. And we've got a phantom hitchhiker. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What in the heck is left? How about UFOs? Why not?
Of course. Yep.
Many people claim they have seen evidence of UFOs near Clinton Road. People have reported seeing odd looking planes and objects flying in the sky, only to have them disappear into thin air. There have also been reports of flutters of blue, red, and white lights flickering in the woods as the cars drive past. Those are the cops, dummy. Pull over.
Yeah, right.
Now,
stop trying to outrun it.
Now, this guy, Steve from Kennelon, says he knows what he saw along the road, and it definitely wasn't from this planet. He goes, I know you guys get a lot of stories, some true, others a little fabricated. But what I saw on Clinton Road one night was, in my eyes, a UFO. After we went around Dead Man's Curve, we suddenly saw a huge flash in the sky and a triangular disc. This thing was damn big in the sky and was hovering over the trees about 250 feet in the air. My friends and I always said we would pull over if we saw a UFO, but we were too scared. After about 5 minutes, it disappeared, and we took off. Now, it's interesting that this area of New Jersey does have a lot of UFO sightings. You know, it's not an uncommon thing. You know, so if you kind of look, and I think MUFON has this map, but you can find it on multiple sites where it has, like, it'll show the map of the U.S. and you can kind of zoom in and you can see the number of UFO sightings in particular area. And there's quite a few. Now, you'd probably be shocked when you look at this map and you see how many are probably right next to your house.
right.
But, you know, when you look, there are a lot in this area of New Jersey. I mean, broad, not just Clinton Road, but in that whole region. But a person named Shawnee also had a similar experience. Shawnee says, I too have seen a UFO on Clinton Road. Said it was very low in the sky and it was so big that it looked like it could fit a small army in it. Then, in the blink of an eye, it was gone. And as for the weird lights, a guy named Jay Radicals had this to say. We were at Clinton Road one night. As we went further, we saw lights, hundreds of them, on both sides of the woods, blue ones, red ones, and white ones. We got so freaked out. We were going 75 miles an hour on this 35-mile-an-hour road. The lights were keeping up with us. If we stopped in the middle of the road, they would stay there on each side, and then suddenly they vanished. So that's
weird.
That is really weird. So now I think we've had the full gamut, you know?
Yeah. A little bit of everything.
Little bit of everything. And the Jersey Devil. I mean, this, it's crazy. And you've heard a lot of these.
You had your cake and you ate it too.
You've heard a lot of these stories, personal stories. And I have to give a little bit of special recognition tonight to my source for these stories, which is the website, weirdnj.com.
Yep.
Where our personal stories tonight were originally posted. So go check them out and you can read even more personal stories from the haunted Clinton Road. But it's just interesting. Like I said at the top of the show, a lot of these legends about places, they seem really, you know, outrageous. But if you really, really dig, chances are there is something in there that is true. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a girl dying in a fatal car crash in a Camaro on Clinton Road in 1998. There's a really good chance that you could find records of that happening. A boy, right, you know, being dared to stay on the bridge at night while his friends drove and then came back, and then they find him dead. There's a really good chance that that happened. There's also a really good chance you may find a police report that explains what happened. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a nugget of truth that led to this legend that persists to the modern day. You know, believe them or not, I think they're fantastic stories. I feel like that there are so many of these stories that there is definitely some strangeness that is occurring along Clinton Road. You know, mm-hmm. whether it's UFOs, whether it's ghostly park rangers, whether it's a spectral truck that will chase you down, there is definitely something happening there.
Not all of these can be made up out of whole cloth.
That's what I think. I mean, you're going to get some for sure. But when you look at the sheer volume of the reports, even the news reports of this, you know, so if you go some of these things that Adam and I research, you will find this, but not always. But with Clinton Road, I found a lot of, you know, WRKT TV news or something does a report on Clinton Road. And it's always about, you know, weird occurrences, or it's haunted, or there's UFOs or something, you know, and there's a ton of those too. So you got to think, well, most of the people that live up there probably believe that there is some level of paranormal activity that is actually happening along that road.
Sure.
If you happen to live along that road, we would love to hear from you. Or if you're from New Jersey or the surrounding area, and you've got a story from there, you know, something we didn't cover, or you got a friend or a family member that had some weird thing happen to them on Clinton Road.
Or if you're one of the people that.
Yeah. If you wrote in this story, if you're Vince or Mike or Shawnee or Jessica or Amy, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. The best place to do that is in our Facebook group. It's called The Graveyard. Thousands of people in there sharing personal experiences just like this. You know, jokes and just funny things and weird things. And there's even people asking for help with getting some entity out of their house. You name it, it's out there. It's just a great community for people to talk about this stuff that we all enjoyed discussing. Don't forget to check out our website. It's graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. And please go check that out. We've got a brand new store. We've got some new items in there. And we've got some pretty good logos and more on the way. Adam and I are working on some new things to add in there. So if you haven't checked it in a while, be sure you jump back in there and see what's coming up.
I like the pillows.
The pillows
with the logos on it.
Yeah. I may have to have one of those.
I've got one, but I want one with our pulp horror logo on it.
Yeah. That one that sits behind me on this side. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really cool. Like, it looks like an old Twilight Zone or a noir comic. You know, go check it out. But our website, you can even listen to the show from there, and that's where you can become a patron. And as Adam mentioned at the top of the show, we have got an enormous back catalog of bonus content available, from short, quick Patreon episodes that are usually just, they come from all different sources, to our show SideQuest, which is really just Adam and I just goofing off, having a good time, picking at one another, laughing, cutting up, you know, trying to get the other one to, you know, laugh or vomit or something, somewhere in between. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.